Don't tell me you don't want to dance. You don't want to dance to that? If that'll make you want to move, baby, you might want to check your pulse. Speaking of pulses, a moment of silence, please.
Slaves you were, and slaves you remain. But the terrible penalty of crucifixion has been set aside on the single condition that you identify the body or the living person of the slave called Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
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 And I am Spartacus. Yeah, Michael Douglas, our very own Spartacus, has left the building. He has been called up to, as I mentioned in the description of this episode, Zeus himself has brought him up for his escapades in the arena and all of the blood spilled over the years in the name of Zeus himself. So, what was that? Kirk Douglas has passed on. He was 103, man. 103. That's some age. That is some age. So you can't look at that and go, went too soon. I mean, 103, that's about as full of life as it gets. And it makes you wonder, who all is capable of that? Who all can make it to 103? But I think on the flip side of that is who all wants to be 103? I know at 47, I can't fathom being 103. Just like when I was probably 3, I couldn't fathom being 47. Truth be told, at 43, I couldn't fathom being 47, but here we are, and I'm sure more will come out over the next day or two in light of his passing and a celebration of his life's work. I read that he was in, I believe it was 95 different movies. It might have been 95 acting credits altogether and 70 some odd movies, but it's still, I mean, it's insane, right? He did more movies than I've nearly done podcast episodes. That's a lot. That is insane. So he had a phenomenal, phenomenal career and one that is forever frozen in time thanks to film. So heart goes out to Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. I know she was around also. She also considered him a father-type figure. So I'm sure that family is grieving right now. So anyways, 103. What do you do at 103? I don't know what to do. You just sit there, right? Watch your earlobes get longer. What else are you going to do? It's not like you can jump up and play pickleball. Y'all play pickleball? Y'all heard about that stuff, man? Pickleball is this great new sport. Look at that transition from a solemn moment in the passing of Kirk Douglas to pickleball. I love it. Not that I'm transitioning from death to pickleball, but you know, I love pickleball. Seems like a cool game. So it's like badminton, right? But not as bad. It's like ping pong and badminton had a baby and gave it a weird name. So it's just kind of one of those deals. So you're playing with oversized ping pong paddles, basically, and you're using a ball, and you're still kind of going over the net with the whole badminton feel. That's what old people play. That's what old people do. I don't think there's a real extreme pickleball league out there. I don't know that you'll ever see pickleball in the X Games. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, I guess that's what you do when you're old. So, hey, check this out. Look at this new toy. Look at that. It's called what we in the biz call a mic flag. And it sits, obviously, on the end of your mic and provides a nice, professional, clean visual for others to see that you take your brand seriously and that you're a real pro. Before I had my mic flag, my podcast sounded terrible. But with this mic flag, my voice is smoother than ever. And my podcast is so popular. No, but seriously, it's cool, right? I mean, I kind of dig that. Y'all tell me it's cool. Y'all, somebody tell me, oh, hey, Larry, that flag is cool. And it was worth whatever you paid for it. You know, I could have made one for like $10 because I have stickers and a cube. That's pretty much all there is to it. But no, I actually had it made by Impact. What is it? Impact, ABS. Yeah, ImpactABS.com. They make mic flags for everyone. So if you have a podcast or any kind of broadcast or you're in a band, they make mic flags for every mic you could possibly imagine. They also make banners and whatnot for radio stations. Of course, you know, I kind of reached out to them because they do the mic flags for the UFC. So when old Joe Rogan's in the octagon, tell us about your victory here tonight, Francis Ngannou. And you see the UFC on that mic before Francis' massive hand takes it over and says, well, Joe Rogan, I hit him and he went down. That's where they get their mic flags. I think they probably get them for free because they're on the website. So I'm kind of thinking, you can use our brand, but you got to supply us with mic flags. How about that? And, you know, if there's one thing that still trips me out about the fight game, and it's really just business, the business of the fight game. And this is some history you may or may not care about, but I'm going to tell you anyway, so hang on for the ride. You know, UFC started in 93, and by 97 or so, it was about dead. 96, 97. It was playing to 500-seat theaters, not even like amphitheaters or anything, just theaters, literally. And it had to be on Indian reservations because it was illegal in most states, so you had to have them on the Indian reservations, and they would often move locations at the last minute because local law enforcement would show up and say, you guys aren't having no fights here, and they'd kick them out, and they'd have to go find someplace else at the last minute. I know Joe Rogan was telling a story the other day about how he showed up for, I think he started at UFC 12, and I think he was talking about UFC 13 or 14, where he flew into the location, and he was quickly redirected to a puddle jumper of an airplane to fly him out in the middle of nowhere, because that's where they were having the fights, and there was next to nobody in attendance. Now, I personally witnessed UFC 24. I was there for 22 and 24 at Lake Charles, Louisiana, and it wasn't much bigger or much better, honestly. The crowd was tiny. The fights were somewhat disorganized, and I mean, it's Lake Charles, Louisiana. There's not much there other than a Waffle House. So, it was interesting to see that when the fight company got bought out, when Robert Meyerowitz or Bob Meyerowitz got bought out and Zuffa took over, it's amazing to see that they've turned it into a multi-billion-dollar brand. And to think that it went from 500 viewers, and who knows what the pay-per-view numbers were. They were dismal. You could hardly get the pay-per-view. You had to have satellite. And back then, satellite wasn't as prominent as it is now. Everybody got satellite, right? Who has cable? You must be poor if you have... Oh, no, no, I'm just kidding. You're not poor if you have cable. But, you know, I don't see the benefit of cable. So, other than internet, internet's good. So, anyways, you couldn't do the pay-per-view unless you had satellite. And I'm talking one of the big 4-foot or 6-foot diameter satellite dishes. And, you just knew it was going to die. You knew it was over. The whole thing was going to just collapse in on itself. But they bought it. They turned it around. And because of the way they conduct business and because of the skills and marketing of Dana White, love him or hate him, the dude can market his ass off. He can make you want to watch a fight. He can make you want to watch a show, even if it's just to see his latest golden boy get his, you know, his butt whooped. But it's amazing to think that you can do that in your own business as well. I'm writing a piece for a podcast magazine right now about injecting comedy into your podcast. And the whole point of the article is to reinforce the fact that you don't have to be a comedian. You don't even really have to be funny. You could think you're funny. You may laugh at your own jokes, but you may not think you're funny in front of people or on a camera or on a microphone. Things change once you get in front of a camera and on a mic. It changes a lot, especially with the camera. You know, I'm just now, you may be realizing that I'm just now getting to where I remember to look at you in the camera instead of looking at myself going, I look so good on that screen. Look at me. I look good. Oh, the lighting's off a little bit. Oh, you can see the light in my glasses. What am I going to do about that? Yeah, now I'm talking to you because why? I'm improving or I'm trying to improve. And you can do the same thing. Comedy and podcasting, it comes about with technique and practice. Success in business comes through with technique and practice. There are certain best practices that can be employed to take any business to the next level. It's real simple. Just follow these rules, follow these techniques, follow these tips, and you'll get there. Not overnight, by any means. And that's something that I think a lot of people stress out over, too, you know, trying to get into that TikTok market. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't see how I'm going to do it. I'm still not convinced. I have another podcast here in 30 minutes with another high influencer in the TikTok arena. And I'm looking forward to hearing what she says are some of her best tips and tricks for being successful on TikTok. But I don't have the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I got to keep grinding. Got to keep doing it, man. Keep going at it. And if they can do it, you can do it. I can do it. We can do it. We'll do it together. Ha ha. And we'll do it together on the Readily Random Podcast. If you're not a listener, why? Let's do it, man. Let's fix that. Let's fix it. Tell me why you're not a listener and we'll fix it. I'll make it happen. I mean, it's all good. Go out there right now. Subscribe to the Readily Random Podcast on your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes or Spreaker or where else are we at? We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Stitcher. Man, if you find podcasts, you'll find Readily Random because we're out there. So give us a subscription and give us a few listens, and we'll be friends for a long, long time. So thank you all very much. It's been 13 minutes for this episode of 10 Minutes In, and I'm going to get out of here. All right. Y'all be cool.